Before we have announcements or anything this morning, Peggy Dolliff called us and asked if we would pray together as a body for her granddaughter. She's at Dartmouth, and she has a lot of fluid buildup around her heart. And Peggy called early this morning and asked if we would pray for her. And that's why she's not with us this morning. She's been up there since 4 o'clock this morning. And so let's do that. Father, we thank you. We thank you that any time someone calls, there's someone who answers. Any time we pray, there's someone who hears. Any time we call upon your name, all of heaven comes to attention. And Lord, for one among us, we thank you for the opportunity to pray for Peggy's granddaughter. We thank you for the authority to speak healing and wholeness and wellness to her body. We command that all of that excess fluid be dried up, drained away, and gone in Jesus' name. We thank you that already, even at the mention of your name and the invitation of your spirit and your power in her life, that things are already turning around, that she's getting better already, for there's no distance in the spirit between here in Dartmouth or any place else in the world. Sure. We thank you that you are one God, always present everywhere at the same time. And so we thank you. We thank you for bringing comfort to her, and also that Peggy will find some time to rest too. She didn't get to sleep late this morning. And we just thank you that you minister to her needs as well. And we thank you that she knows who she can call in her time of need. And may we always be that way for anyone in all situations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I think we should do that now.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
It's nothing too late for God.
No, it isn't. And we came ready. We came ready to be used. Father, we thank you today once again for this opportunity to stand in faith, release our faith together. For Lauren, we curse that cancer, every tissue of it, every cell of it. It has no place in her body.
Right.
Jesus Christ is Lord and sits on the throne of her heart, and cancer has no place in your holy temple. And we command every cell of it to wither up, dry up, and be gone right now in Jesus' name. We're not going to put up with this, and we take our stand against it. It came right out of hell, and that's where it's going back to. And in Jesus' name, we speak healing, wholeness, and wellness to every area of her body. There'll be no cancer in the lymph nodes or anywhere else in her body. And we thank you, Lord, you put a stop to it right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for her healing. We thank you even now that she has the assurance of knowing and can feel tangibly the power of the prayers of the saints who intercede on her behalf. And we thank you, Lord, for touching her life and making her whole to your praise and your glory and a powerful witness to those others who are aware of the situation. We thank you that they will see what an awesome God you are in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Father, we thank you again that our prayers are a testimony, and how you answer them is a greater testimony. We thank you this time again for being present when heart surgery is about to be performed. You do the greatest heart surgery of all, and you leave no scars. We thank you that you will supernaturally close any blood vessels that need closing and remove any clots or anything in the blood or the arteries or blood vessels around the heart, that you will cause the blood to flow freely. There will be no more problems in this area. We are not doctors, but we sure know that when someone has an aneurysm, their life is right on the edge. And we thank you for your immediate intervention. And we thank you that when the earthly surgeons get to perform their work, they are going to find that something wonderful has already happened. The surgery that would have been necessary may not be so now. And we just thank you for that witness and that testimony. And we also thank you for salvation. We thank you that your Holy Spirit hovers round about, bearing witness of Christ and the finished work of the cross. And we thank you for this dear one's salvation. And thank you for all that you've done to bring them to that point. You never give up on anyone, no matter what the situation looks like, and it's never too late. And we thank you for another miracle, and that we will hear this testimony when we come together next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, don't you just love going to the Father with requests like that? Because he has such a different opinion. Father, we thank you. Sometimes we don't really always know what to expect when we gather together. But we thank you that we do come expecting to have communion with you and you with us. And whatever those needs are, whatever things that you put in our hearts, we want to be attentive and faithful to our call. Lord, once again, an opportunity to release our faith for this Marine who was willing to give it all, to put his life on the line that we could live another day free. And now he's in his time of need. Lord, we thank you for sparing his life. We thank you for the care that he's receiving. But we thank you that you go beyond what machines can do. That you will somehow supernaturally cause the blood to flow through his arteries and his brain and any place else that was affected by a lack of oxygen or blood, this heart attack. We thank you that you give him the God scope examination in every place that's been affected. We thank you that you will make it right. We thank you that you will catch everything that's going on in his body that others would miss, and that you will touch his life in an amazing and supernatural way to remind anyone who is facing a situation where their life has been written off. We thank you that that's not to the end of the story from your perspective. And so, Lord, we thank you for healing him and causing him to have a complete recovery and making him every bit whole. And he will testify and say, look at what the Lord has done for me. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, yes, we are.
Yes.
I speak for all of us. Father, we do thank you. And we stand with Tom. The petitions he's brought before you, we thank you. We thank you that that is a prayer. And we thank you that as Tom has released his faith for his family, we stand with him. And we don't need to pray again. We need to stand in agreement. The prayer has been spoken. It's been received in heaven. And so we thank you for Aaron's salvation. We thank you that you deliver her from any demonic spirits or any mental anguish or mental illness or the spirit of suicide that would tempt her to just end it all. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is all. He's already intervened in her life and spared her life, that she might be a living witness for your power and your glory. We thank you for bringing peace and comfort to this entire family. It is true, your word said that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And we thank you for a complete work in this family, and they will all bear witness of a life that once seemed hopeless and in despair has been miraculously and supernaturally turned about to a life filled with joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's a wonderful thing that that prayer request came here, because we're known as that church. So we might as well live up to our reputations. We believe in things like this, don't we, Peggy?
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, what a joy it is to come in and just be a house of prayer this morning, too. Not only a house of praise and thanksgiving, but a house of prayer. And what an honor and a privilege it is to bring the hurting and the broken before your throne of grace. Father, for this lady who has fallen and broken bones, we thank you that unbeknown to her, she fell right into your loving arms, and she fell right into the hands of the chief physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid on that cross and bore all manner of sickness, disease, and infirmities and brokenness upon himself, that we can pray with full confidence that you will supernaturally speed up the healing process. We speak to the bones. We command that those breaks be mended back together supernaturally. It won't take 6 weeks. We thank you that it's already begun to happen. And we just thank you, Father, that you will continue to speed that process up, and that those bones will be stronger than they've ever been since she was born. And we also thank you that it will happen in a way that she will know that it came from a supernatural source, it came from you, and that she will be so willing to give you the praise and the thanksgiving and to honor you as the Lord of her life, and to thank you for the good work that you did in her body and in her spirit and in her mind, in Jesus' name. Amen. Very well. Our opening scripture this morning seems like a Holy Ghost setup, actually, because all of this happened, and then this verse I had from last night, and then today it's being fulfilled as even as we speak and as we gather this morning. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. But as usual, I like sometimes to read the scripture before or the one after, the one that we have for an opening scripture, because it helps us to not take a verse out of context, and it adds a fullness to it. So I'll start with verse 4. And this is Paul writing to the church at Colossae, the Colossian believers, a relatively new church, but they came out of a city that was filled with evil and wickedness and idolatry and a lot of things that were happening. If you study the cities where Paul planted these churches, he didn't find nice little places in a quiet neighborhood. They were planted right in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation of people. And he wrote, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you or deceive you with enticing. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And I believe I had that in the NIV today. "For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to whom you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." And when I think of that, it's very easy for me to brag on you guys often, and I do. And I used to think that people were mocking us when they would call us that church. But I'll tell you, it's an honor. They might have meant it in a mocking way, because sometimes to others we may appear like we're out there on the end of the limb and because that's what faith is, isn't it? Faith is living on the edge, and it can change things that quick. And the minute we give up and we forget who we're praying to, we forget the witness of the scriptures, and we forget the miracles and all the signs and the wonders that the Lord did to show us really who God is. It is wonderful to come into a place like this and to just say to you, in the event that I wasn't here, I would know this about you, that you're steadfast, that you're faithful, that you're filled with faith, and that you're not backing down, you're not rolling over and play dead, you're not quitters, and you're not giving up, and you're going to press forward, and you're going to the finish line standing up. You're not going to be crawling and begging, oh Lord. You're going to go in with heads held high and your feet pressing onto the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. And every one of you, I declare today, you're going to make it to the finish line because your hearts are set, your focus is right, and I just can't say enough to thank you as a living witness and an example to your families that really think you're whack to come to that church, because they don't dare to come with you. But they will, won't they? We're not shy about our faith. Did I see a hand? Come on, I know something's there.
You notice when people get in trouble, either in a sickness, a disease, they're hurt or something, who's the first one to call them?
They call us?
They call the church.
That's right.
They do it because they know, down in their heart, the book of Romans chapter 1, we're talking about a lifestyle that is prevalent in the world today. And God said he turned them over to a reprobate mind. But he also put in Romans chapter 1 that he put down in the soul of every man, woman, boy, and girl the knowledge of right and wrong.
Yes.
Of good and evil. So nobody has to tell anybody. They know. But they do call on God's people because they know God's people have got the answer. If they want it, they want to try to make it on their own, their own ungodly way. If they know the bottom line, when they get in trouble, who's the one they call? They call on one of God's children.
Amen. Thank you. And I know that we don't say these things in a prideful way, but a truthful way. Because when you really know how powerful God is and how he watches over his word to perform it, and that his word does not return to him void, but it prospers where he sent it, we can make these statements in a manner that glorifies him and not ourselves. And we stand together as a body in that. Let's have our missions offering. And we don't know among us who's going to be the next one to go, but we know somebody will. And so we just thank the Lord for what we can all do together to make a difference. And along with this, add your prayers of faith that God is going to open a door. Another thing I didn't say about India is the gate has been constructed. It hasn't been painted yet. The sanctuary that's going to be a thatched hut out of banana leaves is temporarily on hold. There was a large meeting in Talavati. There's been 11 pastors now that have been rounded up and brought to the police station for their beatings. And they use cane rods to break ligaments and muscles and tendons, but not bones, and threatened until they were forced into signing a written confession that once they were released, they would not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And 11 of the pastors signed that. Pastor Sherrard was not one of them. He said, they beat me almost to death many years ago, and if they want to beat me again, praise the Lord, but I'm not signing any confession. And that's the situation right now where I've been, and I know many of those pastors that have gone down that road. And the threat was, if they break their word and they go back out and preach in the name of Jesus, the threat was, we know where your wife and kids live. So India's, in that place, is not as free as it once was. And I don't know when I can go back again, but who knows? Maybe I've been and the work has started and it'll carry on among themselves. But if you get thinking about how rough your day at work was yesterday or the day before, please pray for the pastors and the ministers in India too, because the threat is very real and it's become an everyday event now. So anyway, let's pray for this missions offering. Father, we thank you for the opportunity once again to pool our resources and set this money aside for someone in our congregation that will have need when it's their turn to travel. We thank you that you're always so faithful. You always touch enough hearts, and there's always more than enough to provide for someone to take a trip to bring the gospel to the hurting and the lost, whether it's through medicines, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through resources or your word. We thank you. The gospel is the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, and however he chooses to manifest himself among the hurting and the lost, so be it. We're all for it. And we thank you for the privilege to be a group of believers who not only talk about missions, but who sends people into missions work. And we all share in the joy, but you always get the increase. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And the only thing I would add unto that is we've already gathered, and close to an hour's gone by already in prayer. It's time to reach up, take a break, stretch your arms and legs right around somebody, give them a hug and tell them how much you love them in Jesus, and take a few minutes and just enjoy his wonderful presence in our midst today. As we were finishing up that chorus of Hallelujah, I was just thinking about all of our beloveds that have graduated and gone on before us, and now the memorial services that we had this week, and many others, and your loved ones that lived and died in the hope of eternity with the Lord. And I'm thinking about all the hallelujahs of the angels and the 24 elders gathered around the throne of God, bowing down and worshiping and singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And all the hallelujahs, and oh, it's just, you know, we don't want to hasten our departure, but it sure has a good future.
Amen.
And just to think about that, when how beautiful it was here just a few minutes ago.
Amen.
Oh, man. And your hands won't get tired in heaven.
Amen.
Well, what a morning it's been up to now. And I expect that God is going to deliver us right to a wonderful, what shall I say, a wonderful time the next few minutes and probably all the rest of the day. I don't know how many of you have plans for later, but I want to be respectful of any Father's Day lunches or dinners or family things that you have going on this afternoon. But I'd like to bring the next verses of Scripture in our teaching on patience. And remember, it means endurance. It means steadfastness, not quitting, not giving up, pressing on, pressing in, going forward. Not one step forward and two steps backwards. If you're going to do that, at least go two steps forward and one back, and you'll still gain one. If you can't do three, take two. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. I wonder if that might be one that I looked last week and didn't remember. Sometimes I get caught up with all of you, and I just want to stay in that place. Oh my, what an opportune time for this one.
Amen.
It's always an opportune time. So somebody's been in the water and through the fire at least once this week. That qualify anybody in the house today? Been some different times and maybe some trying times. And the thing about the God-given patience that I've been telling you about is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It gives us God has given us something that enables us to hold fast to His word and to His promises, even when outwardly it seems like all hell's busting loose around us and turmoil, tumultuousness. And yet, there's something on the inside of us. There's a confidence in us as we grow in our faith and we mature as believers. We come to realize how awesome God really is and how wonderfully, in the midst of troubles, He just seems to know right where to touch us in just the most miraculous way, to touch our heart, to tweak us a little bit, bring an attitude readjustment. I don't know about you, but I need to readjust mine from time to time, and sometimes I just like to let Him do it because He's not so harsh on me as I am on me. And He always shows me grace. So these scriptures this morning. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. If I just stop right there before we get to the next verse, look at these comforting words. He's speaking to Jacob and to the nation of Israel. But God's word is not exclusive for any one person to possess it, but it's for all to take a hold of it. And if you look at His word, is what was in God's heart when He wrote these words. Look at this. I formed you. Fear not. God knows what's on the inside of each one of us because He put it there. The ability, even when everything seems to be going contrary, there's a compass on the inside of us called the Holy Spirit, that if we can get out of our flesh, get out of our feelings, get out of our emotions, that's where we can get to that place where we don't get into fear, and fear has all its little babies, worry, anxiety, being anxious, all of those little things that have their roots in fear. But God didn't give us fear. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Oh my, when you think of the value of your life to God, you should really value your lives to each other. It's God who redeemed us by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Can you imagine, even in heaven, before there was anything created, and God knowing all things from the beginning to the end, and the end to the beginning, that each life was worth it to Him for the sacrifice of the cross? That's how important your life is to Him. That's how valuable your life is. The memorial service the other day, and I was talking about the pearl of great price. Here's another aspect of that very same principle. God knew us from before we were even formed, and He said, fear not. And He said, He's redeemed us. That means He found worth, He found value, He found a treasure in each life, whether it ever has lived to its fullness or not. Only God can answer those questions. We have His word, but things happen. We don't always know why, but we know that they do. But in spite of all of that, God said, I have redeemed you. Oh, I've called you by your name. You are mine. Oh, how precious that is. Can you imagine? Sometimes I forget people's names. Do you ever do that yet, or are you not old enough yet to forget people's names? Well, hopefully your day won't come. But God never forgets. And He knows us by our names. He never forgets. He never overlooks anything. And He's so attentive even to the smallest details of our lives. And He cares so much about you. And you might think, oh, I'm my problems aren't even close to the people that just had the loss of a loved one this week. Oh, yes, your problems are. When you take your stuff to the Lord, it's just as important to Him as anyone else's. He's no respecter of persons. And however He ministered to you, He'll do the same for the others, because He is no respecter of persons. Everyone has equal standing with him. And you can go to the bank on that one. You won't have to wait 10th place in line to get to the drive-up window. No way. You're right there. You're right there. You are mine. I used to think I was mine, and I realized, well, that wasn't too good a picture. But when the Lord buys us, he redeems us. He brings value and worth out in our lives. And so we can no longer say, I am not worthy of his blessing. I am not worthy of his favor. I am not worthy of this, or I'm not worthy of that. Because really, and just hear me out on this, if we say that now as believers, what we're really saying when we say I'm not worthy is we're telling God that the price of the cross wasn't enough. Jesus didn't do enough. Because it was his blood, it was his life that he gave to make us worthy. And don't you think that God knew that, knowing all things from the beginning? That the worth factor was not ours but his to decide? And he's the one that chose. He's the one that said, those are my created beings. They're my beloveds. And they are worth redeeming. So when you entertain the thought of writing somebody off, please don't. When you think of giving up on somebody, please don't. When you have a harsh word for somebody, hold your tongue. Now, when we're the Christ-like ones, that's what Christians mean. Did you know when we're the most like God is when we forgive? When we forgive like he forgives, we're the most like him. Because you see, each life to him is what really counts. And it should to us as well. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Say, if you pass through the waters, it says when. That means if you haven't got wet yet, your day is coming. Well, that's not a bad word, because it's a wonderful promise. Actually, it says when you pass through the waters. That tells me you don't have to worry about stopping until you take your last gulp. Through means you're coming out on the other side. You see, like in the 23rd Psalm, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we talked about that this week as well. That word through is really important. We sang a song, we overcame because Jesus overcame. That means there is nothing that should stand in our way from finishing our course and completing our race. So when you pass through something, don't stop in the middle of it and start murmuring and complaining and thinking that we can't make it, we can't do this. With the Holy Ghost inside and you can't do something? Come on, give me a break. Man, before we were saved, look at all we used to do. I'd never miss a party. I don't care how big a blizzard was blowing. If I knew there's a bag of dope or a line of coke, I'd go. I don't care how bad the storm was. And we can't come to church on a snow day? Oh, we have wisdom now. Come on, you guys. Mess with me a little bit. You notice? Get into this. We can do these things with his help. And it doesn't mean we're weak. It's just that we're stronger with him than without him. And that's a real joy. We never have to walk this walk alone ever again. Yes, Peggy. Yes.
The verse, it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Amen.
That's right. That was the verse that I was given this week.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Because my nephew has that tattooed on him. So he's going to make people look that verse up whenever they see it.
Oh, good.
Philippians 4:13, and they're going to look it up.
And it's through him.
They'll know what it is.
Amen. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I always like it when somebody adds another chapter. Because you know what? We're all in this walk together, and sometimes one of you may have a word that pertains to this. And I'm very open to having that happen. I don't have all of it. I just got what's been revealed to me. Thank you for that peace. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I bet he's a really good swimmer. And actually, if you remember, he walked on the water. He didn't have to lower himself to swim. And he raised up Peter to walk with him. Isn't that cool? You didn't see any of the other disciples getting out of the boat, though. I wonder what the conversation was in the boat. Hey, Peter! You can't do that! And I wonder if Jesus was talking to the ones in the boat, oh, ye of little faith. A lot of times people think he was talking to Peter. He was the only one that got out of the boat. Just another perspective.
Like he goes to that church.
Yeah, that church, yes. Yeah, I wait until it freezes. Oh, my. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Sometimes events in life can seem like a river that would want to overflow us or overtake us. And even in that, God promises that they shall not overflow us. They will not prevail. They will not win. And think of in your particular lives, as families or as individuals, all the things that you as a believer have to take a stand against during your week. And sometimes things can seem, I would use the word overwhelm. It's kind of like overflow, but to be overwhelmed with something, we have to realize and go, hey, wake up. And we come to our senses and we say, oh yeah, yes. Yes, he has enabled us to get through these things. And we heal. And we go on. But we always guard our hearts against getting bitter, resentful, or anything like that, because sometimes hard times can make a hardened heart. But to the believer, we shouldn't harden our hearts. And we don't have to, because God already assured us that he was with us. And how comforting that is at times, because sometimes you can think you're alone and you're not. Oh my, you shall not, oh, and walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. And I remember one time we had this as an opening scripture, and I talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the burning fiery furnace. And if anyone could have burned, they'd have been crispy critters in a breath. King Nebuchadnezzar heated that furnace 7 times its normal heat. And when those 3 men were thrown in that furnace to be consumed, oh, plus he tied them up to make sure like they're going to bust out. No. The only thing that burned was the ropes that held them bound. And when they came out of that furnace, before they did, the king looked through the window, and what did he see? He saw a 4th man like the Son of God in the fire with the men, didn't he? And he spoke those words. And what happened to the king's heart? Do you remember what he did? All those that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, the king had them thrown in their place. And they were vaporized, just whoosh. But not these guys, because they served the Lord. They would not bow their knee. They would not quit. They would not give in. They stood their ground. They stood in their faith. And they knew the God who had redeemed them, the God who walked with them, the God who talked with them, the God who gave them life, the God who gave them a hope and a purpose for their lives, was in the fire with them. So the next time you're in a hot spot, don't worry about the buns. God's got you covered. And I'm going to end it right there. You'll remember that. Amen. I ain't going to mess with a good line. But I will pray if any of you need prayer this morning. Well, let's go on to the next season in our lives in victory. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you're always so good to us, and we thank you that when we come into this building that you've provided for us to meet in, we thank you that never a week goes by that we're not aware of your presence. And we come with hearts that are attentive and listening for you to speak something to us that will help us during the week, or maybe even before the afternoon is finished. We thank you that you're a now God, and now faith is. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your compassion, for your tender, loving kindness that you've crowned us with. And we thank you today for those who had come maybe with sadness of heart. We thank you that you will continue the healing process for those who have come dealing with other things not spoken. We thank you that your Holy Spirit will be attentive even to those. And that when we leave this place today, we'll be really glad that we came, because we know who you are, and we know whose we are. And we thank you so much. And Lord, we also want to thank you for blessing our meal and fellowship time downstairs. We thank you for those who have provided goodies and good food to share with one another around the tables. We thank you that there's more than enough for everyone. And we thank you, Father, for that precious time. And for those that are going, may the peace of God go with you. And may you take his grace and his goodness with you and shower others that you encounter during the week. Father, we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.